This is the SMB Community Podcast, the longest-running MSP-focused podcast in the industry.
I'm James Kernan. My background's IT sales, marketing, and leadership, and most recently, M&A advisory services.
And I'm Amy Babinchak. I help MSPs run stronger, more profitable firms from a tech-first perspective.
Here, you'll find practical insights for MSPs and IT service providers. Powered by Small Biz Thoughts.
Hey, James, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, doing good. How are you?
I'm pretty awesome, too. Hey, today we're going to talk about our question of the week, which is, should I pay my text commissions? We're going to talk about the difference of talking to apps or talking to AI versus talking to real people. I'm going to share a survey that I saw in the online group, All Things MSP, because I think it's really important for people that go to conferences.
Yep.
You and I are going to talk about our favorite AI tools, and then we're going to wrap up with what tools to use for documentation, and then finally our tales from the field.
All right. Sounds good. We got a lot of good stuff.
We got a lot of good stuff. So let's get this party started. First off, should I pay my text commissions?
Great question. Should I pay my text commissions? So I'd say absolutely yes, but it depends. If they bring in a new account or they bring in additional MRR from an existing client and they did it, you had nothing to do with it, I think absolutely. You can pay them a spiff, a referral fee, whatever you want to call it. I think absolutely you should do that for your text. And the other part of my answer would be if based on their productivity, certain organizations, I'll say larger MSPs have more sophisticated tools and you can track the profitability by project or by transaction a lot better. If you've got the right tools in place, then I liked comping engineers for projects and maybe even technicians that work at your help desk based on their productivity and efficiencies. But the big caveat there is you've got to have the right tools in place to be able to track that. I'm sure you're a fan of paying commissions. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, there's two different things on commissions, right? You really need to define what your text job is. But yeah. If they're starting to morph into a salesperson and they're being successful at it, and it isn't actually hurting the thing that you hired them to do, absolutely pay them a commission.
Yeah.
Right. I think the best salespeople are sales engineers. And if you have a budding sales engineer amongst your staff, you should reward that because it could be really valuable to you down the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing that you brought up was the productivity measure. Mm-hmm. So, my standard was 80%, right? You should be at 80% utilization. And then, I didn't do this till toward the end of my MSP the last couple of years, but we did give an additional amount of money into your paycheck if you beat the 80%, if you beat the 90%. If you went over 100%, I didn't like that because you're working too much. Like, so it was almost like overtime, right? If we consider 80% productivity is what we expect from a tech, then that's really full time.
Yeah.
If they're doing more than that, that means the company's getting more from them. And I started to reward that and it worked really well. Got people more into tracking their productivity than anything else I ever tried in the past. Right? Get those texts to enter tickets. You know,
the other thing I would point out, if you aren't doing any kind of paid incentives for technicians now, you could also do a couple other quick ideas that I've seen work really, really fantastic right now. One would be like a rotating trophy for whoever closed the most tickets or had, you know, back to your point, Amy, maybe the highest utilization, but under 100. I agree with you there. But it's a rotating trophy. And I, at least in our peer group community, we call it the Ticket Monster Trophy. And it's a rotating trophy and it's almost just pride. It's like, look, I closed the most tickets. So I've got the rotating trophy this month or next month or whatever, things like that, or even a gift card can go really far, as well with just verbal recognition, a small token like that, that goes a long way with different personality types. Everybody's not triggered on money, but I think some type of recognition is a good thing.
Let's move on to our next thing. It's about AI, but it's a different take on AI from Rod Trent. And I was reading his Substack, and Rod Trent has a really cool Substack if you guys don't read it. He's a Microsoft product manager in the security area. He also writes science fiction in his Substack. So, mm-hmm. And so the one I read recently was how we talk to our apps and our AIs today, because this is becoming almost totally a speaking thing. Like, we're going to stop typing to our computers. We're just going to talk to these AIs and ask them to do stuff.
Yeah.
But the way we talk to the AIs, it's different than the way that we talk to humans,
right?
It tends to be more direct, and we have to give, to be really effective, we have to give specific directions in our speech. We typically don't do that with humans.
Right.
So his piece was about, you know, how is this going to change communication, and how are we going to tell the difference between I'm talking to an AI, I'm talking to a human. Oh, this response came from an AI. This response came from a human. Are we going to be able to figure that out as people?
You just said it was more direct than talking to humans. Okay. Do you think that's a good thing? Do you think we should, just like we're talking to AI and being more direct, do you think we should be more direct with human beings and stop beating around the bush so much?
Well, I'm not a beat around the bush kind of person.
Yeah.
But I do tend to talk to my AIs exactly as I talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
The question is really, is that going to change, right? Mm-hmm. So in order to direct the AI, you have to give it very specific instructions verbally. If humans are better at interpreting what you just said and then going forth with it. The AIs aren't there yet. I'm hoping the AIs will get there, so that we can just say, hey, could you go do this for me? And then it will back with questions and back and forth, kind of like humans do.
You know what else is interesting that kind of came to me when I was reading that is human beings have feelings, you know, yeah. And I haven't seen anything, any comments back from AI that, hey, I have feelings. You need to quit being so direct. But anyway, I thought that was kind of funny when you think about it. But, you know, in most cases, leaders need to be empathetic and just pay close attention to different communication styles and so forth. And I think that's essentially why, in some cases, we can't be super direct all the time. You need to kind of add a little fluff, you know, based on who you're talking to. So interesting.
Yeah, if you're super direct all the time, people are not going to like you as a manager.
Yeah.
And I think AI is going to get to that point as well.
Yeah.
It's my thinking is AI will move toward humanness. So. Anyway, that was a really, really thoughtful piece that Rod wrote there. Hey, also online, right, from the online groups, which I'm members of a bunch of them, this one comes from All Things MSP.
Mm-hmm.
They put out a survey, and the survey said, do you think that MSP conferences are spending too much money on entertainment and not enough on education? So the response was 86 to 13. So 86 people thought there's way too much money being spent on entertainment, not enough money on education. That's a huge percentage.
Yeah.
And if you're a vendor and you're listening to this, this has got to be a wake-up call. The comments were also gold. So you got to go in there and read the comments on this post as well.
Mm-hmm.
What people were saying is, yeah, I don't go to conferences for education anymore. I've given up on it, right? If there isn't a big name entertainer, I'm not even going to bother.
Mm-hmm.
But so, and that what they're saying is all the speakers are paid. And so they're there pushing, right? They bought that spot to push their vendor thing.
Yeah. To sell something to you, right?
To sell something. And if there's education, it's a nugget that leads you back to their stuff that they're trying to sell.
Yeah.
Right?
I can see that. I've always said, you know, you need to have a nice balance of education and entertainment at conferences to motivate people to go. And I've been to some amazing, huge conferences where, you know, the Beach Boys or just these incredible musicians are playing. And that's a great experience and memory. But then, you know, a lot of people are going because they want to learn. They want to collaborate. And, you know, it's not always about the entertainment, but it's, you know, and nobody wants to hear a sales pitch at these conferences. So that interesting comments for sure.
Yeah. You know, if a conference has a big name entertainer like that, then it's going to cost you $5,000 to go to that conference. And if you spent $5,000, you need to come away with some serious takeaways that are going to improve your business.
Right.
Because that doesn't even account for the week away that you spent either.
Yep.
You know, what's changed really is conferences are led by vendors now. And that's really made a big difference. And we have so many conferences in our industry now. It's almost like the good stuff is diluted.
You know, these events are super expensive. Post-COVID, you know, a gallon of coffee is $150 at a lot of these venues that you're forced to buy food from. So the cost of these events are through the roof. So I get why the vendors are doing it. But again, I like the wake-up call comment because it's exactly, I think, why you and I like the smaller conferences, because we don't have this enormous $100,000 budget to cover. You know, you have a lot more flexibility. And you can set up sessions to collaborate and to network and to learn and really be taught things that you want, and then great networking time.
One of the other comments that was in there said that, hey, you know, a lot of these conferences are being put on as profit centers. And so, you know, we see exorbitant costs of a booth, you know, 100,000 or even more for a vendor to have their booth there. And so, of course, they want to be on stage and hawk their wares. They just spend a huge amount of money. But those same conferences won't spend a few hundred bucks to cover the costs of an educational speaker to be there.
Right.
So I do hope this is a wake-up call to those conferences. You're missing out on some attendees that really want to be there to learn.
This episode is supported by IT Service Provider University. ITSPU delivers structured education for IT service professionals who want to improve how their managed services business actually operates. Courses cover service models, agreements, pricing, customer service systems, and front office workflows, with an emphasis on building repeatable processes and operational consistency. It's practical, opinionated training designed for MSPs who want clearer systems, not just more content. Learn more at ITSPU.com.
So, James, what's your favorite AI tool right now? Have you changed?
Yeah, you know, it seems to change over time. You know, it used to be Copilot and then ChatGPT, you know, use that a lot. But now I would just say Claude. You know, Claude has so many different capabilities than these other tools that I'm used to playing with. But it's also kind of fun, you know, prompting the same question or idea into both tools, like ChatGPT and Claude, and see what they come back with. You know, what would you say your favorite AI tool is?
You know, I am using two equally right now. I'm still using Copilot. Since Copilot made a change, they used to be OpenAI behind the scenes, and now they're Anthropic behind the scenes by default. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft moved to Claude as well. That's made a huge difference. It's also gone agent first, so everything's an interactive agent. That's been a really huge improvement in Copilot. But I also still use Perplexity. Perplexity gives me, gosh, I don't know, five or six different AI LLMs that I can use, and it'll blend them when it gives me an answer. So I really appreciate that. You know, speaking of ChatGPT, OpenAI, and kind of the overall feeling that they might be falling behind, they just had their big announcement that they now support images. It's sort of like an Apple second mouse button announcement, you know, like 10 years late.
Exactly.
I tell you, one of the really cool things, I actually wrote a blog post about this recently, and you guys can go read that over at Third Tier. But what I was talking about is AI can actually spell now, and you can edit the text within an image. OpenAI just announced image support, but you can't actually do any editing in it. So they're still really falling behind pretty rapidly here.
Right, exactly.
It's not surprising then that you've changed over, James. I think a lot of people have moved in Anthropic's direction. Hey, another question that I saw online was they were asking about what documentation system that you use, and specifically for smaller MSPs, do you just use Excel and some OneNotes, or do you buy into one of the solutions? And oh my God, the comments had solutions all over the board. Stuff I never heard of, to the big players, everybody. That to me means documentation is still a problem in our industry. Nobody's settled on a single solution. Like, oh, this is absolutely the solution.
Well, I think they need to have something in place for sure. You know, IT Glue and Hoodoo seem to be the more popular ones. But I can't tell you, and I run into this a lot as I'm going through a transaction with someone, you know, maybe selling their business or buying their business. You always want to find out, you know, how do you track your documentation? And more and more sophisticated MSPs really don't have a good solution in place. And that's something that's a big red flag and turns off buyers for sure. What are you seeing?
Well, I see the same thing. Everybody's got their own solution. There was even a guy in there that has a solution that he built that he's got over on GitHub.
Okay.
So, you know, it's possible to get some really good stuff off of GitHub if you want to host your own thing. In my MSP, we just used OneNote, but we created a template in OneNote. So every client documentation piece used that same template. Mm. And so that way we had consistency and order and easy access, which is what you want from documentation. So
exactly.
Whatever you're going to do, it doesn't have to be complicated, but you have to do it. That's one thing MSPs fall down on a lot of times. So I'm too busy to write it down, you know.
Yeah.
That's maybe part of the reason you're too busy, because you don't have any institutional memory of how things are done. So you have to reinvent it all the time.
Right.
Pick a solution, use it. I don't think there's any bad solutions except maybe Excel. Otherwise, pick one, use it, make it up. Just do it.
Tales from the field.
I was talking to an MSP this week, and I was reviewing their profit and loss statement. And I was working on helping to give them a valuation range of what their business would be worth. And you know, Amy, you're going through and you're looking at the expenses, and I was kind of tallying up all the add backs. And there was an expense that really jumped out at me, and I started asking them questions, but it was payment processing fees, $24,000.
Whoa.
And it was their annual, you know, it was a 2025 P&L, and it was around 24 grand. And I said, do you have any kind of payment processing tool in place? You know, what do you use? And I think they said Stripe, and they just eat those credit card fees. And they said, well, you know, it's important for us to have predictable cash flow coming in. I said, well, you know, look at the cost. I said, have you ever looked at payment processing tools, like automated payment processing tools? You know, alternative payments is a perfect example. And there's a lot of good ones out there, but they're a real strong up and comer. They give you the ability to do EFT transactions for free. And then they've got different options for payment plans for clients. If it's a project or a big hardware sale or something like that, you can spread out the payment over 3 months, but the MSP gets their money immediately. That's a perfect solution. And technically it's not an add back, right? You can't add that back, but that is clearly an expense that shouldn't be there. You just take 24K to the bottom line, and it's more and more common. Think of you, the listener, the MSP business owner, how many times a vendor of yours has pushed, you try to pay on a credit card, and they push the credit card fee back to you. I see it all the time. It's so common. So you could even do that with the different payment processing tools out there. But I like automating it and then giving them a choice. Hey, if you want to avoid the fee, you could do electronic fund transfer, set that up. There's no fee for that. It's a pass-through, or, you know, I could push the fee over your direction. And I see more and more MSPs do that. So Don't be like the poor person that I was reviewing and took a $24,000-$25,000 hit.
Yeah, I've never understand that. They're just like, it's just a cost of doing business. We have to eat the credit card fee. And then they bemoan how high the credit card fees have become. We never did that in my company. We always charged for the credit card. Yeah. And if anybody wanted to complain about it, I said, well, we have ACH. Mm-hmm. We'll do that for free. The ACH cost me 50 cents, but I decided, that 50 cents I can offer for free. But, 4%, no. If you're only making a few percentage points on your hardware purchases, 4% eats into it, pretty much eats right up.
And there's all sorts of other things creating margin erosion across the board. So this is an easy fix. I'd encourage you guys to check into that. And when I brought this up, Amy, to the person, they really weren't interested. It was like, well, yeah, I'm aware of it. And it's like, oh, okay, you don't want to fix that? Okay, no problem. I just wanted to make sure they knew. But anyway.
Yeah, and a lot of your invoicing applications now have a little tick box where you can just have it automatically edit. It's not a big painful thing to do. I will say, though, if you use an external vendor, they are incentivized to move your clients toward ACH. They're still going to make their fee from you no matter what, but the credit card fees reducing the amount of time to get paid. Right, because they're the ones waiting to get paid. So anything they can do to shorten that time, which is direct withdrawal, that helps them on their end. So they will continue to push that, and you will see your customers move slowly. You still got the ones that are going to write you a check, but some people like to live in the past.
Yep, exactly. So what have you got? What have you got coming up here in the next 90 days?
I am on the podcast circuit, and I think I'm up to like 10 podcasts I'm going to be on. There's a lot of podcasts out there that are, of course, not as good as our podcast, James, but, they're pretty decent. that was just a joke, guys. If you follow me over at Third Tier, I will highlight those. And, of course, on social media, where you can go tune in. I'm talking about my book. It's about the 20 questions, that you should answer before you sell your company and ways that we can do that. And I'm trying to get each of the podcast hosts to focus on different chapters. So should be pretty educational for everybody.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Congratulations. Well, you've got 10 things. I've only got 2 things coming up. So I guess I'm not as popular as you, but I'll do a little bit of traveling. We've got Scottsdale, Arizona, May 12th and 14th is the Reinvent Telecom Conference. I'm excited about that. It's at the Talking Stick Casino, which is amazing if you haven't been there.
James' favorite place in Arizona. Yeah, I know you've held your events there before, too. I'm a little jealous of it.
Yeah, we've held multiple events there. Super cool. But looking forward to speaking there at that conference. That's going to be fun. And then we've got our mastermind event here this summer, July 30th and 31st in Omaha, Nebraska. So excited about hosting that here in the Midwest. Yeah. And the cost of the event, just the room alone, it's, nice Marriott, beautiful, beautiful venue, but it's half the price of the last resort we had it at in San Diego.
James, there's one last thing I wanted to mention. I want to encourage everybody to send us in a tale from the field. So if you can send it to us on a voice memo or a video, we'll actually put you into the podcast. If you're shy, you don't want that, just send it via email. You can send it over to james@kernanconsulting.com. But we want to hear from you. We want to get these real world tales in there, and we'll try to help you answer them too.
Thank you for listening and or watching. Dave breaks down the IT news of the day on his show, The Business of Tech, with bonus content on the weekends.
Watching this on YouTube? Be sure to like and subscribe so you always know you've got our latest episode. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to use the contact form on the SMB Community Podcast webpage. That's smbcommunitypodcast.com. Or leave your comments on our YouTube episode page. Produced by Picture This Video. part of the MSP Radio Network.